Bible is full of encouragements and warnings to watch the use of our speech, to use wisdom and to use caution. A constant reminder. And perhaps it's because of what James reminds us of the power of the tongue. In James 3 and verse 5, after discussing the bits that control the mighty horses or the small rudders that can bring about the large ships. And he reminds us in James 3 and verse 5, even so the tongue, it's a little member. We don't take a lot of thought to. Well covered. It's a little member, but it boasts great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindles. How much good or how much damage the tongue can do. Even as I was thinking about that again last night, I was scrolling. Natasha posted on that great time waster, but sometimes it's used for good on Facebook. Proverbs 10 and verse 19, I was scrolling, and there she had a nice little post that in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. And the Natasha commentary there was maybe we all talk too much, and I can agree with that. So our topic for tonight is found in Proverbs 18 and verse 13. Where there it's recorded for us that he that answereth a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame unto him. Thinking about our speech and thinking about using the use of our tongue. To answer a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame. How do we do that? I thought of a few things. Probably the one that's most closely fitting here, in a sense, is listening to respond rather than listening to understand. Sometimes our wheels are already spinning and I'm thinking about what I've got to say rather than listening to what the person actually is saying. And it can lead to great misunderstandings because we can be arguing and saying the same thing. Because we're just more interested in saying it the way that we want to say it. We can do it in passing judgment without proper knowledge of a matter. Maybe I've heard one side of a story, or maybe I've gathered some partial information and I have formulated a whole case and I've got an argument on the right answer, but I don't have all of the facts. I don't have a good understanding of what's going on. And maybe it happens when we try to instruct someone else and we don't really yet have an understanding of what we're talking about. There's a lot of different ways to give answer to a matter before we really have heard it. I think about James 1 and verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let everyone be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. I've had the opportunity to speak on that before, and I believe the direct context there is how we listen to, how we understand, and how we respond to God's word. It's all in that context. Think about God's word, which has been given to us in love, and be careful not to be so quick to get angry or to even sometimes argue with God because we don't like what we hear. Rather, to listen to what he has to say, put it into action in our lives. Be slow even to respond as you continue into chapter 3. Perhaps that's why he encourages us, be not many masters or be not many teachers. Make sure you stop and pause and understand what it is God has to say to you. But I think we can extrapolate and draw a lesson from that. Yes, use that in regards to God's word, but whatever the source of information is, am I swift to hear, swift to listen? Am I slow to speak, slow to respond in wrath or anger, to grow angry at that which I am hearing or listening to? So I want to go back and think about some wisdom maybe we can learn. He that answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame unto him. We're talking about a matter. Simply there, the idea of speech or word, a thing, a cause. What is it that we're listening to? What is it that we're responding to? If we're not careful, we respond in folly and shame, silliness, folly, emptiness, but even much stronger than that, this idea of shame, disgrace. You can bring dishonor to your own name and reproach by how you have handled it. But I want to spend the attention there that I would draw to you are the two words, he that answers a matter before he hears it. To answer is the concept or the idea to turn back, to retreat, and again. Those are interesting concepts until you understand maybe the idea even of answering again. And I thought about that concept. I'm receiving something and I'm formulating, I'm digesting it in my mind and I'm formulating my response and I'm answering again. I'm turning that back to the one that has responded first to me or spoken first to me. And so answering again, focus on that for a second, but then also the idea of hearing. And this was most telling in the very definition. Hearing means to hear intelligently. Capitalize, bold, underline, strengthen that. To hear intelligently. It's not simply just to hear. It's not simply just to be able to respond to something. It's not simply letting something go in one ear and out the other. But this is the idea. I want to understand. I want to grasp. I want to have knowledge of this particular matter. One way in which I wrote it out here in my notes was the concept, can I restate what I have just heard in my own words? And many times that's going to be a measure for us as to whether we have really comprehended something. Can I restate it in my own words? And so, trying to learn some lesson from that, making a quick application. Can we restate what's being re-said in our own words? Sometimes simply telling someone, well, what I'm hearing you say is, and repeat it back. Am I understanding you correctly? And let them hear what we're saying. And it may be that we have a misunderstanding or a miscommunication. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm trying to say is this. And that first person can respond it. Now, I might have responded to what I thought they said, but now I'm trying to understand, what are you really saying? How am I to understand this? And so making sure we're speaking the same thing and have a grasp of what is being said can show some great wisdom that we can answer again properly. Otherwise, it is folly and it is shame because we're making an argument that's not, or arguing against something that's not being said. I would say when we strive to learn from that, we could also encourage ourselves, let's speak to one another in wisdom. The goal there to answer again, to take that and to be able to respond properly to that person is to help guide them in a, hopefully, a biblical stance. Let's see what God's Word has to say about the matter. Or here is a verse that you might think about that would be applicable to that situation so that both of us can grow in knowledge and understanding. Respond in wisdom, particularly wisdom from God's Word. Number three, make sure that we're listening for comprehension and agreement before following someone. I'm going to argue that sometimes answering again, if I'm answering in agreement, I might be answering too quickly. Is what's being said true? Is it right? Is it true according to God's Word? So make sure I'm listening for that comprehension and agreement before I follow someone. We'll show great wisdom. Number four, make sure we're listening or hearing before responding positively or negatively. Is it right? Here's what I've heard you say. Here's the good that I hear. Here's the things that I think you might need to rethink, or we might need to re-steer a little, or it contradicts this knowledge. And so being careful in how we answer and agree. And in so doing, then number six, make sure we're listening and understanding before teaching. And here's the idea now, not even just what I speak back to that individual, but what I've taken in before I repeat that somewhere else. Have I verified it as truth? Have I made sure it's right? Have I made sure it's what was first said unto me? Have I made sure that the report that came unto me was true and right before it is then carried on? That's even true in our communication, in our speech with one another, but it's true when we speak and preach and teach God's word. Have I properly understood it that then I can relay it back unto others? And so he that answers a matter before he hears it intelligently, before he tries to answer again or speak concerning the things that he has heard, let's make sure we're seeking wisdom. Let's make sure we're understanding and then responding in a good way that's going to edify and build one another up. I would drop down in conclusion to verse 15 of Proverbs 18, where again he says, "The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge." We want to be a people that are listening, that are trying to understand truth, that make sure we're responding correctly, we're understanding that which we hear, so that we can properly respond to it in the things that we speak. And so that's the exhortation there. There's a lot that we could continue on in our speech, but making sure that what I'm answering, what I'm speaking again, what I'm responding to someone is first done from a position of understanding and from a position of wisdom, watching how we use our speech. And so with that, I'm going to ask us to consider ourselves and the things that we say and the things that we do. How are we using our speech? As we examine ourselves, we also always certainly want to extend the invitation to think about our spiritual lives. Where am I? Is everything that I'm doing, in word or deed, as we've sung, being guided and directed by God's word? And perhaps there's one who says, I need to know more about God's word. I need to know more about the direction that I should be walking. And we'd love the opportunity to sit down and study God's word with you to see those things that are recorded for us. Perhaps you know those things that are right, and it's time to be obedient to them, to respond in faithfulness, just as so many did throughout the great occasions of the book of Acts and the history that's recorded for us there. So many that heard God's word and believed it, they would meditate on it, think about it, understand it, so that they could properly respond to it. They would repent of their sins, confess that Jesus is indeed the Christ, the Son of the living God, and be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of their sins, beginning there in Acts 2 and verse 38, continuing through that whole book. Perhaps one has already done that, been a member of the Lord's church, as those sins are washed away, as he adds us to the body that he's promised to save, his church. We drifted from that. And it's time to reexamine our lives and come back to him. And hopefully all of us can examine and think about our speech. How are we talking to one another? How are we dealing with one another? How are we responding to the things that we hear? Make sure we're doing so in wisdom. That's the invitation before us open tonight. If there's anything that we could help you with in that, wouldn't you let it be known as together we stand as we sing.